Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, how's it going, everybody? Hope your Monday is going super great. Hope your lunchtime. Their voices are getting heard every day. We read their articles. We like or maybe get...
No!
Starting off with one of those kinds of days, I guess. Hope your lunch is going great. We're just hanging out today. We've got some stuff to talk about. Oh, we got some stuff. We got Driscoll. We've got Driscoll doing some Driscoll things, and it's just so shocking to me that still, after all this time, nobody seems to care. Like, all of us have access to the internet, right? Like, we're all seeing this stuff, and still, like, the weirdest people that you wouldn't imagine would be, like, fans of Mark Driscoll. Like, they hate Calvinism. Well, now it's a different thing. But he was known back in the day for promoting Calvinism. They don't like Calvinism. They're charismatic. And all of a sudden, they're the ones sharing the Driscoll stuff. Guys, I keep on unfollowing people. I keep on unsubscribing from different channels to elevate his stuff and his platform. It's just nuts that it keeps on happening when it's so obvious. It's just so dang obvious what he's doing, and yet we still got to talk about it because it's just nuts. We're going to talk about it. How are you guys doing, though? That's what I want to know today. I want to have a little bit more of a laid back stream today. I want to hang out with you guys. Today is a big day. All right. Today is a big day. Michael said it. 5,000 subs. 5,000. Like, that's just crazy that there are 5,000 underdogs. If we go over here, let's see, what do we got? Do we have a thing? We have a thing. We can come over here. And you guys can see that. Nuts. There's 5,000 of you guys. What are you guys doing subscribing to this channel? Like, what? There's 5,000 of you guys that are, like, seemingly agree with me about some of this stuff? That's just crazy. So I just want to say that today is a day to celebrate. Yes, 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 yes. We did it. We solved Christianity. All of us 5,000 people together. We have solved Christianity for all time. And we have, you know, turned over every leaf looking for all these errors. And we found them all. And so we're done. We're done. We don't need to do any more shows. We don't need to do any more content. The show is over. We've hit 5,000. That's the magic number. Everyone knows. That is the true remnant of Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't even like saying it. It's not even funny to joke about, but they keep on saying that kind of stuff. No, it's not over. It's not over by a long shot. We've got a lot left to do, but it is pretty stinking awesome that you guys have bumped up this channel, especially considering the fact that I took my foot off the gas. Like, this last year has been chaos. So I know some of you guys are just like, just get to the content. Some of you guys are like that. You're just like, I want the content, Dean. I don't care about your channel and your personal stuff. Start talking about Driscoll. Well, you could go to a different video and come back in a couple minutes, okay? I'm going to talk about my own life and my own channel for a minute. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody who watches this thing, who hangs out with us on streams, who is part of the rewatch army. Like, you guys are awesome. It's incredible the fact that, you know, it doesn't take, you know, some of these people think like I'm out for different stats and stuff, you know, and maybe this is one of those moments where they're just like, see, you're so excited about this number. I am excited because it proves that there is real community here. Like, we're not just like hanging out and talking crap about all these different pastors every time they do something. You know, yes, we see a bump when we talk about John MacArthur, and there's something that happens with John MacArthur, and yes, there'll be a bump, or John Piper, some of these bigger guys. But I mean, there are some weeks, like last week we talked about Dusty Devers. Probably a lot of you guys didn't know who that guy was before last week, and still 1,000 of you guys watched that video. 1,000 of you guys. Like, that's a lot of people to just hang out with me in my basement and just hear about Christian nationalism and hear this weird dude rant about it for a little while he has action figures behind him, you know? Like, it's a weird thing that we're doing, but we're doing it because we have each other. There's 5,000 of you guys that have been coming over and hanging out, and I really appreciate it. And it's a real community. It's not just about, oh, chasing this scandal and that scandal. You know, we're going to talk about some of that stuff today. We're going to talk about some of the clickbaitiness that's out there and some of like the gross ways that people do stuff. But we don't do that here on Underdog Theology. We're not about that. We're about sticking to the big things, the main things of Jesus Christ, the kindness, the love that he told us to have for one another. Yes, sometimes that means diving deep into some theological aspects and saying, hey, this is error and that's wrong, or something that's happening in the church, that's wrong, so we need to correct some of these things. Sometimes it means doing that, but a lot of times it means just being like, hey, you okay? like you go through this stuff, you see this stuff, you see it online, and it could get really depressing. And so what this show has become is like this time for all of us to just kind of get together. And whether you're here live or maybe you leave some comments after, like, guys, I don't even really do a lot of the comments. You guys hop into the comments and you're hanging out with each other. We have prayer requests that get pinned. Like, you guys really care. And I know for myself, whenever I say, hey, guys, you know, we're dealing with something, could you please be praying? You know, little guy with his diabetes is having some issues. Could you guys be praying? You're always here for that. Even though we've kind of hit the brakes a little bit this last 6 months or so since my son's diabetes diagnosis, basically, you know, it's been hard. It's been hard to do multiple streams a week because I'm constantly looking at this thing and making sure that my kid's alive. And you guys get that. And you guys are cool with me taking little breaks throughout different things or taking a week off, and you still come back. And I just got to say, it means the world to me. It means the world to me that you guys actually stick with me and you like hanging out here and you like the channel and you keep on sharing stuff. You go onto Twitter. I don't see Facebook, but I'm assuming it's there too. At least the analytics tell me that it's there. But you guys go onto these other social media things. You share videos. You start talking about these things. I really appreciate it. And it's just awesome to me that we are sitting here. I mean, just... I didn't think that this would happen once I started to take a little bit of a break this year. Because like I said, it's been really hard to do the streams, and I know you guys don't care about the videos. Like, I get that. Like, I want to make sure that what we're doing here on the channel is stuff that you guys actually like. And a lot of you guys are like, I would much rather hang out for a live stream than watch a video or a quick video, or even content wise. You guys don't care about Joel Osteen. You don't care about Mike Todd. You don't care about, you know, some of those guys that are more popular and would bring in more people and stuff like that. You don't care. So we don't talk about that stuff because we're not about the people on the outside. We're about bringing the people that are on the outside inside. You know what I mean? The people on the outside looking in, you know, like the intro says. So it's just awesome to me that you guys are here, that you appreciate the channel, you appreciate what I'm doing here, and you get it. And that's not for everyone. So there are 5,000 people that are kind of like me, at least in some ways. And sure, there are going to be those people. There's probably a couple hundred of people who sub to the channel just so they could hate on whatever we talk about. And I get it. You know, thanks for at least subbing. That's what I got to say to you guys. Thanks for the penalty box stuff. You guys always give me content. And I appreciate, you know, a couple of you guys that have subbed just out of convenience. Doesn't matter. It makes a difference. So thanks for everyone who has subscribed, and we're going to celebrate. I don't know. We'll probably do a better live stream. I've got one thing that I want to work on. Okay. All right. I've got one thing that is going to be really funny when I have the time, and it's going to happen. Okay. It needs to happen. Little hint here. It needs to happen before November is out. Okay. There's going to be something. If I could find the time this week, I'm going to get it done. But it requires editing and stuff. And I've got a lot on my plate. So we'll get it there eventually. But I just want to say thanks for everyone. And so let's hop into the chat and say hi to some more people as I try to make sure that everything goes back up. That's the thing when you like, let's have fun with confetti, and then you just got to take things away. RJ says, so excited for you, Dean. I appreciate that, RJ. Shanalee is celebrating. It's Heidi says, not me. I love the personal nature of this group. Yeah. I think a lot of you guys are like that. You get it. Ariana says, please tell us what Driscoll is doing and summarize why he's not a good example, if possible. Definitely will in just a little bit. Hold your horses. We're going to get there. We'll get there together. Seth says, you can quit when you hit 144,000. That's how you know that you got everybody. You got the whole remnant together. And that's the number. He gets it. He has the charts at home that tell us it's true. Ariana says, I follow you because you make me laugh. And although I don't agree with you on a couple of things, you do it in humility and you speak for underdogs like me. I appreciate that. You guys, once again, you don't have to agree with me. Some of my best friends in life don't agree with me on things. I have friends who are charismatics. I know. It's kind of shocking. They're charismatics. But you know, like, you don't have to agree with everything I say. I just hope that, like, it's very similar. I've been doing the same thing online, I've realized, since I was like 19 years old. I started a blog. I'm not going to say what it was because I think it might still be out there. Oh no. My whole point of it was, I want you just to take whatever I say and put it in your back pocket, you know, just kind of think about it, maybe pull it out sometime. And just think, like, I don't know, is there something to that? That's all I ask for. You know, just a little bit of consideration. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to think I'm the smartest guy alive, because I'm not. I'm not right about everything. I just have strong opinions. And the internet is a good place to throw those opinions up. Guys, I rewatched an SNL skit of one of the best ones in a while. Is the Fisher-Price. It was when John Mulaney was on. And it was the Fisher-Price podcast studio. Because, you know, all of these like 30 something year old white men need a podcast in order to get their ideas out there. They just have to do it. And sometimes that means they're going to get canceled for what they say. And so instead of getting canceled, get them a Fisher Price set and they could just play with it. And they're not recording, or at least they're not supposed to be. They're just playing around with their equipment in the basement. And it's like, ah, that's pretty accurate, at least for me. I appreciate it, Heidi. Aaron's here and says, that's awesome. Sarah's here and says, hi, Dean, joining you, washing dishes again. I always join when I can. Great group of people. You always encourage me, Dean, and make me laugh. I appreciate that. It's what I'm here for. It's what we're here to do. John is here. Good buddy. We need to hang out, John. Here live 2 weeks in a row. Bring me the finest muffins and bagels in all the land. Bring them to me. He's the Christian prince, and he demands his muffins and bagels. And Britt says, way to go. Every one of you has been a huge part of it. And, like, again, without you guys, there's no success. Like, this thing doesn't work. So it would just be me ranting in my basement like that Fisher-Price set. Caleb says, dreary day in Louisville. Loving the late November pre-Thanksgiving gray skies. Ooh, very angsty. I like it. David says, good to see you. Appreciate you, man. Steven, hit the like button, get upgraded to premium economy seating and popcorn. I can't verify whether that's accurate, but I do agree with the message. And this was pretty great. I saw this in the beginning. Caleb says, new band name, Driscoll and the Demon Slayers. It's pretty great. Pretty great. You know, what kind of music would they play? Like, they would try to be hard, and then just, it wouldn't be like hard rock. But I feel like they wouldn't. I'm only here for the beer, non-alcoholic, of course. Okay. And this isn't the all of this true. And Sarah says, Dean, your channel is like a safety stop in the Underground Railroad. Oh, that's high praise. Escaping harmful legalism and kept my family in distress. Your humor, insight, and love for Christ helped us a lot. Appreciate it. That's so kind. So nice of you. I appreciate you saying that. And everyone, Melissa's here saying congrats. Roland is wondering, is there a music video? All right, don't get your hopes up, okay? All right, I might have oversold it. I think it's funny. It's a really funny concept, but it's definitely not that. It's not that great, okay? Maybe someday I will, but not anytime soon. Glenn says, it does seem like Christians who disagree but still want to love and support each other are the real underdogs. Yes, it does. It does seem like that. I clicked Lumberton Church. I clicked like, still no popcorn, bummer. You just wait. You know, we'll see. We'll see by the end of the stream. Maybe it gets delivered. I don't know. I don't own YouTube. I don't own, you know, big tech. Maybe big tech is using that to track you. And they're just going to find you at your house. A drone will drop off a bucket of popcorn, or nothing will happen. Both of those things. All right, let's talk about Drisky. This guy, guys. This guy. All right. I don't know how it keeps on happening, okay? How does it keep on happening that Driscoll just gets to do whatever he wants? And still, nobody other than Mike Cosper and some people who came on the show, but they don't want to dedicate any time online to saying, this guy is bad news. Like, maybe people shouldn't listen to him. Maybe we should point out some of the obvious things that he is trying to do to gain an audience. And because of that, and we talked about, like, you know, how it happened with Driscoll that he got his platform back. We did that a couple weeks ago. But this, to me, is just gross. All right. There are some things that I can be like, I disagree with your tactics, but, you know, I understand where you're going from, and it's not that bad. Like, there are people that do things here on YouTube to get clicks, to get subscribers, to get money, that I just look at and go like, I just wouldn't do that. But I'm not going to judge them for it. It's just like a personal thing. This, I'm going to judge you. Oh, I'm going to judge you hardcore, because this one is just really wrong to me. All right. So first off, let's talk about some numbers things. Talking about 5,000 subs. Let's take note. All right. As why does Safari always do this? 260,000 subscribers. That's where Driscoll's at now. Guys, he's grown so much. It's been insane. You go on to Twitter, he's grown so much. Talking about the Twitter thing for a little bit, I used to get a laugh at Mark Driscoll's Twitter. Like, about like 2.5 years ago, before the rise and fall of Mars Hill, I would giggle on the couch with my wife, like, joking about how it's so funny that I get more likes on tweets. Like, I would do this every couple of days, where I would like look at my tweets and look at the likes versus Mark Driscoll's, who has, like, you know, like, what is it, like 500,000 followers on Twitter. It's something insane. And like, it's grown a lot, but he still had it, you know, a couple years ago too, because he was always big on Twitter. But I would joke with my wife about how I get more likes as like a 600, you know, follower account versus like, you know, a 600,000 follower account, because that's where Driscoll was. Nobody was entertaining his stuff. Nobody was paying attention to it. They had written him off because of everything that happened with Mars Hill, and everyone was just kind of sleeping on him. And now that is not the case. Look at Mark Driscoll's tweets now. If you go over to his Twitter, you will see he is getting likes like crazy. He is growing like crazy, and it's happening on every single platform. Now, who was it? Someone, Elena, I think, asked, like, could you summarize, like, why he's bad? He's bad, and why this is so concerning is because the guy's unqualified. Because of everything that happened at Mars Hill. Because if you go back and you listen, and I know some people are like, don't tell me just to listen to a podcast. It's not that hard. Listen to three episodes, okay? The first three episodes is really all you need to get an understanding of why Mark Driscoll is not qualified for pastoral ministry. He's never apologized publicly. All right. To my knowledge, a lot of these guys, some of them have reached out. A lot of them have not been apologized to in private either. All right. He has just moved on. He planted a new church just on his own. He left his theological circles, you know, abandoned Calvinism, which is fine. Like if you change your mind on Calvinism or something, you know, not that it's like a crucial doctrine, but something that, you know, it's kind of a big deal, but you move on from it, you change a little bit. That's fine. But you immediately go from like these Calvinist circles of people like the Gospel Coalition and Together for the Gospel, and like that's your tribe, Acts 29. You leave that, and now you're hanging out with that Morris guy from Gateway Church. Now you're hanging out with all like these hardcore charismatics who are just like one level removed from Kenneth Copeland. Like, we're not talking about like the good charismatics, all right? We're not talking about the guys who actually have a point of view and actually understand their theology. We're talking about the megachurch guys who are just there to sell books. And he joined those guys. Next thing you know, he's planting a church. Next thing you know, you're getting all kinds of stories about from Julie Roy's talking about how he's like doing the same kind of stuff that he did at Mars Hill, because the guy hasn't changed. We're going to look at the penalty box once again. There's always, you know, this thing that happens where we have all these people who just forget about this stuff. And it's just disturbing. I got distracted because John S. was saying, like, we all know that Heather is the real Twitter star, and it's 100% accurate. All right, she doesn't do nearly as much on Twitter anymore, but we all know she was on Good Morning America because of it. It blows my little mind. It's just crazy. And it blows my mind that Mark Driscoll is just everywhere still and nobody cares, and the gatekeepers fell asleep and they just didn't do their job, and they're still to this day not doing their job. There should be every week, like one of these Gospel Coalition guys, if they really cared. And here's my challenge. Some of these guys watch. All right. Every once in a while, they check in and they see what I'm talking about. Here's my challenge to the Gospel Coalition guys. Once a week, you need to designate someone from your council to tweet condemnation about Mark Driscoll. Once a week. You need to set up somebody. Have a chore chart of you going on Twitter and saying, hey, what he's saying is wrong here. Because right now, they're the ones who are responsible for getting him all over. And yes, a couple of them went on the podcast and said their stuff, but they didn't bear really any responsibility for what they did. And they're still just kind of not paying attention. And so there are people who don't know about all this drama from back in the day. They don't know about the rise and fall of Mars Hill because we live in this age, this digital age, where people just forget about things after like 6 months. 6 months go by and we're just like, it doesn't matter. It's why I'm a little concerned that Dale Partridge is just going to get back into the swing of things in a couple of weeks here. Calling it. All right. I keep tabs. I know what people are up to. But it's what we do. We pay attention. We get real passionate. We have a couple tweets about it, and then we move on and we forget about it. But these people don't move on. They aren't repentant. They don't stop. They just keep on going. And Mark Driscoll is doing that right now. All right. That's an interesting question, Ed. Do you think the rise and fall of Pod unintentionally aided MD? I think that it kind of did. Because it rallied people to him. You know, whenever you have like strong condemnation come against you, there are going to be some people who are just going to leave, but they're also going to be like the true believers that are going to like band together and get even more like staunch about it. They're going to like put on their armor and be like, oh, we're going to defend our guy. So I think that it was a net win for evangelicalism with the rise and fall of Mars Hill, because it brought a lot of those things that maybe people from the Pacific Northwest, we knew, or people who really paid attention online, they knew, but the vast majority of Christians didn't know. So getting that knowledge out there, I think, is a big, big win. But I do think that there was a little angle of it that probably helped him in getting like those followers, those true believers, to be, you know, radicalized and just be like, well, you know, they just hate him. And, you know, it's, oh, it's Christianity Today, which, you know, is no Christianity at all. And, you know, like get all that kind of stuff going. But yeah, let's talk about, though, some of the stuff that he's doing right now, because he is using things, and he's been using things for a while, to gain popularity. Mark Driscoll, he has the spiritual gift of marketing. All right. I truly believe that's his spiritual gift. I don't think it's teaching. I don't think it's definitely not pastoring. All right. It's not being a loving, compassionate shepherd. I'll tell you that much. All right. It's marketing. He's great at marketing. He's so good at it. And he probably should have gotten a secular job so that he could actually use that skill and not hurt people. But he's doing it. All right. So if we look at, you know, just like the past, all right, let's go to videos and let's just taking his YouTube as an example. And guys, I'm talking about Mark Driscoll today. But there are lots of pastors right now and YouTubers that are doing the exact same thing, and it grosses me out. All right. I know some people would look at like me putting Mark Driscoll on the thumbnail or putting John MacArthur on the thumbnail, and they would view it as a similar thing. I disagree. But some of these guys, they're just trying to get famous. They're trying to get more clicks. And so they put like the grossest, obviously messed up stuff onto their thumbnails, onto the like their tweets, and they're trying to radicalize people. And it's just gross to me. So let's watch and just see like how they've been able to do that. All right. So let's go with popular. All right. Look at some of these things. All right. You can see that there is, well, we're going to, let me try to do it this way. Let's go here and let's exit full screen and this should work. All right. Let's just look at some of these videos. If we go down, I'm not going to read some of them because YouTube might get a little channel like me in trouble for reading some of them, but you could see that there's some definite themes, and this is what he got famous for in the beginning. There's the theme of sex, like just different kinds, different questions that come up, and you can see just the amount of views that some of these things got. Now, some of these, like this one right here, we're talking about 15 years ago, which is also kind of concerning because he took all the videos and the content down and he stole them. He stole them from the church. That's what I would say. Now we could have debates about who owns the content, but he took it all down. He deleted it from different things on the Mars Hill website. And then he starts his own website, which is PastorMarkDriscoll.com, even when he wasn't a pastor, which is still weird. Guys, and I put this on Twitter the other day. If you have PastorWhatever.com, I think it's a weird move. Like, just be yourself. Just if you're going to have a website, DeanLentini.com, not PastorDeanLentini.com, not PastorDean.com. Although if you go to PastorDean.com, there's a guy named Dean Hawk, which is legit the coolest name I've ever heard of. And so, like, I don't know anything about his ministry. But if you go to PastorDean.com, it takes you to Dean Hawk, his website. And I just think, in another life, that's what I renamed myself, you know? Like, that's so cool. But you could see 15 years ago, he put this up. So some of that is, like, these views are from then. But they've seen, like, just like this rocket ship incline of all these people watching all this stuff. But you can see the themes, all right? And you see it go from sex to demons to spiritual gifts, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then you start getting into some of the political things that I want to really focus on. All right. And some of this is just insane to me. All right. Let's go back a couple weeks. All right. Let's go back just 1 month ago. We'll start right here. You know, you're getting 7,000, 2,000, 6,000, 4,000, you know, some of those kinds of views. and are just like, okay, you know, he's got a big channel and, you know, whatever, he's posting stuff, and I'm sure he doesn't make the thumbnails. All right. It's probably, I'm assuming, his son-in-law. It seems like he would be the guy to be doing that kind of stuff. But you can see, okay, whatever. To me, they're dumb thumbnails, but every thumbnail to me is a dumb thumbnail, even my own. But then you see that there's some of these that all of a sudden kind of skyrocket. And, you know, usually it has something to do with Satan. But then who is the Antichrist? Right here. Well, you don't want to watch this. Oh, no. Let's go back down. Sorry. Who is the Antichrist? 49,000. Well, anyone who does marketing would look at that and go like, oh, now we skipped one, probably the bigger one, and that is this Left Behind. Six signs that the world is ending. All right. 160,000 views. Much different than some of these other ones. And then you see Mark Driscoll, who's a marketing, I wouldn't call him a genius, but he's good at marketing. And in the Christian world, that means a lot. Like, guys, the reason why you found me is because I'm okay at marketing, not because I'm the best communicator in the world or even because of the content that I make, but because of thumbnails, because of titles. That's probably the reason why you found this channel at the, to begin with. And then you stayed because of the content. But for him, 160,000 right here because of that. And we'll move this over just a little bit so you can see. We got little Kirk Cameron right there. Ooh, this is better. We'll do it right there. So six signs that the world is ending. And we can take it and we can move it. I'm sorry. I'm so like, I need everything to look okay. At least in some way. All right. So six signs that the world is ending. And then you see him just lean so hard into this stuff. All right. You see him just all of a sudden. Okay, well, that worked. Well, let's talk about the Antichrist a ton. And let's make sure that everyone knows that we're talking about Obama being the Antichrist or Joe Biden being the Antichrist or both of them being the Antichrist at the same time. It's a double whammy of Antichrist. All right. But then you see him try some other things. And of course, going back to his go-tos of sex and different things like that. But then we're doomed, right? Oh, the country on fire, politics. And then something happens, okay? Something happens right around here. All right, about a month ago, something happens to where all of a sudden he is growing even more than before. And what happened isn't found on these videos. It's happening on the lives because he started taking his sermons and turning them into platforms. The guy doesn't preach the Bible anymore, guys. Like all these people that come at me on different shorts that I've made, usually it's the shorts because that's always the wackadoos always find them and they go nuts about me saying, oh, Mark Driscoll's bad. Apparently that's such a controversial thing to say these days, which is nuts. But like they'll be like, he's the greatest Bible teacher I've ever met. And it's like, well, you haven't met many because he doesn't teach the Bible anymore. He just gets up there and literally just talks about politics, talks about family, talks about sex for 45 minutes. And then a quick little like 20-minute thing about what a scripture passage says, just vaguely, and how it really is about things that are happening right now. But it's not about what the Bible actually says anymore. But you can see the number that changed things. And it is this. It's in the thumbnail here. It's this. Jesus is back. He's back, y'all. 900,000 views. This is the biggest thing that he's done. And it's gone everywhere. It's gone on Facebook. It's gone on Twitter. And what is this, guys? If you go and you watch this, don't, because it's really bad. Like, it's just dumb for about 45 minutes. And it's all the stuff that I have heard Mark Driscoll made fun of. Now, I can't find all the stuff because he has access to it and no one else does. Not the remnant of the church. There are some people who have like clips and different things, but it's not searchable in the same way. But I have heard him make fun of people who are like the hyper dispensational people that like, you know how every church, let me know, maybe some people here in the chat are these people. I don't know. But there's always one guy
one guy in your church that will stop your pastor for about a half hour every Sunday because they saw something on the news, because they saw something about Israel, and this is what I think it is, and they'll take him back to some random verse in the Old Testament and then cross-reference that to something they find in Revelations. It's not Revelations. It's Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But, you know, whatever. They found it in Revelations, and it means this because of this and all this kind of stuff. And your pastor, the kind soul that he is, waits there for 30 minutes while this guy is just talking and talking and talking, and then says, oh, you know, my family and I, we need to get to lunch. You know, like that happens probably every other Sunday for that guy. He's always interrupting somebody and talking about Israel. And I have heard Mark Driscoll make fun of those kinds of people. And it's just so shocking to me that here he is. Now he is that guy. He is that guy. Why? Because he saw it with that other video about the end of the world. He saw it with the other video about the Antichrist. He saw it with these things that there's opportunity. There's opportunity here. And so he leans into it, he at least approved it. But this is maybe the worst thumbnail that has ever existed in all of YouTube. And guys, there's tons. There's tons to pick out from. Jesus is back. And who is Jesus? Well, it's the Chosen, because the Chosen fans, who are just some of the worst people on the internet. If you're mad at me, go check out my short. Like, hey, in a little bit in the penalty box, there'll be another one. Like, these people are just the worst people online. And they're going to be like, oh, that's my Jesus. And so they'll click on it. And then the Kirk Cameron fans who love talking about the tribulation, well, they'll click on it. And then the people who are concerned about Israel and scared about what's happening in the Middle East, well, they'll click on it. And the Red Moon people, the Blood Moon people like John Hagee, like, oh, they'll click on it. And I don't know who the heck this is for. We've got seemingly a cow being a rocket ship. And I mean, this is bad design, all right? Like, I don't want to be too crass, but he's basically just burning something out of his rear end at Mark Driscoll. Like, I don't know what that was about. Maybe this is a passive aggressive thing by whoever made this thumbnail, but that's a little weird. But really what this is capitalizing on something that is happening in culture and something that is awful. Guys, there's a war that is going on right now in the Middle East. And here comes Mark Driscoll with zero education on the subject, with zero experience, with zero connections, saying, I have the truth. I can make this, you know, this video that you need to watch. And if you do it, you know, you're going to learn that Jesus is really coming back. And so 900,000 people watch that, and you can just see it. After that, he just keeps on trying. Good marketing is when you have a hit, make a sequel. All right. And there is some truth in that. And sometimes you need to, because there's more content that comes out, more things, more angles of a story that you need to cover. I've done that a bunch, but there's no angle that Mark Driscoll has learned to be able to cover that. But nope, he's just, okay. Well, we have hope in a war-torn world. All right. Under attack, we've got guns everywhere. Will Hamas come for America? Like, this is the kind of stuff that he's doing. Don't be a coward, pointing at Joe Biden, politics, war, death in the Middle East. And what is Mark Driscoll doing about it? He's capitalizing on it. All he's doing is making sure that he gets his clicks, making sure that he can make money off of that. And guys, you can guarantee, you know, this channel is monetized. Each one of these videos that gets 900,000 views, that's going into his pocket. If you think he's sharing that with the church, you're out of your mind. All right. He is making money off of this stuff, and it's not just him. All right. Let's go back. You get a little bit of a spoiler. No, you guys didn't see it. Okay. But if we go to someone like this, when one of the demon slayers,
God.
All right, Vlad Savchuk, I have zero idea why this guy is popular. Maybe one of the boringest speakers I've ever heard. Like, you want to put stuff on online, I'm going to be honest about my opinions. It's just really, really boring, but people like him for some reason. But he does the same thing. All right. Mostly you could see it with the lives. All right. He had success talking about Israel. All right. You look at some of these other videos before and they don't do nearly as well. And so he goes, okay, no connections, no education, not an expert on the subject at all. Well, let me make some videos about this thing that I know nothing about. And, you know, sometimes, oh, you guys can't see that. I need to do the same thing I did earlier. We'll go there. And now you should be able to see right here. Israel and end times. All right. Now, usually I don't care about this kind of stuff. You know, people talk out of their butts all the time. All right. I'm sorry. I'm going to say some words. If you got the kids around, you know, I don't know. There's some people. Sorry, goings. but people talk out of ignorance all the time online. And most of the time, I just don't care because that's just the way the internet is. But there's something just so gross to me about a pastor who goes out of his way to talk about this thing and put out videos and knowing that there's going to be success. And once they see it, all of a sudden they become experts on it, right? Like, oh, Antichrist and Israel war. Oh, we're going to have more videos about it, from jihad to Jesus. Oh, stand with Israel. All these videos, they're going to make them. It's not just these guys. There are so many people online right now that I think are totally exploiting a war where people are suffering, where people are dying, so they could get clicks on their website, so they could get clicks on their videos, so that they can make more money. It's gross to me. It's frustrating. There are tons of YouTubers that I could call out right now and just be like, what are you doing talking about all this stuff as if you're an expert? Stop it. You're not. This is a war. Let's take it seriously. Let's pray for people. Let's, you know, there might be some things. There might be some things that we need to study out and have some videos about to educate some people. If you're a dispensationalist, I could totally see, you know, like why people like Michael Vleach, makes total sense for him to be very active online right now, you know, as someone who is very dispensational to talk about all these things and Israel being replaced by the church and all that kind of stuff. I understand why those people, scholars on the subject, are very active. What I don't understand, what I don't respect, what I find really just disgusting is the fact that there are so many pastors, so many Christian leaders online who are putting up completely ignorant videos, content to just get clicks. And it's see-through, it's transparent. We all know what they're doing. And I think it's about time that we just kind of call that out and say, stop it. Enough of that. If you're one of those content creators, don't do it. All right. Like, don't just capitalize on something like this. I understand something else happens in the world. Like, there's like financial chaos of some kind. And maybe you have a spiritual angle on that that you want to speak to, but you're not a financial expert. You make a video, whatever. But this is war and death. All right. This is children being harmed. This is awful, awful stuff that I don't even want to get into detail about some of the depravity that's been on display in the Middle East. I don't want, like, it's just gross to be able to take that and just be like, well, I could use this, you know, and propel myself forward. And that's what Mark Driscoll is doing. And so this last month has probably been one of the best months for Mark Driscoll, as far as gaining popularity, both on Instagram, Twitter, and here on YouTube too. And it's just so disgusting to me. And once again, I know for a fact the guy has made fun of dispensationalists and like people who are really focused on Israel. So it's just shocking to me that that's him. But that just shows you where he's at. He's just out to get numbers. And it's just so stinking gross. So if you have a platform, like if you're one of those people that does have, you know, you write for TGC, you tweet a lot and you got a platform, and every once in a while you check on one of these videos, if you're watching right now, go and condemn this stuff. Like when you see people who are putting up weirdo thumbnails like what Mark Driscoll did, all right, and just obviously just trying to get clicks, when you see this kind of stuff, just condemn it. when you see stuff like this, condemn it for what it is. It is just them trying to get clicks. I don't know who this Warrior Poet Society guy is. I think I've seen one interview that Mark Driscoll did, like a couple minutes of it way back in the day. I think I know everything I need to know about that guy, but this is just, it's just gross to me. And I think it's about time that Christians call it out when we see people trying to capitalize and make a platform for themselves off of the hurt of others, whether it's, you know, also like just church hurt, you know, something on a much smaller scale than actual war. But when it's on that big scale, please, can we please just stop this? It's gross to me. All right. I'm sorry if this was like a downer of one, but it's just, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I had other videos that I wanted to show. And then I was like, I don't want to start a whole thing with this person. So I'll just show like the most obvious one. And there's tons of them. Let's go up and see. Let's start with John. Pastor is a relational title. I am pastor to my congregation, but not to the public. Insisting on being addressed as pastor by strangers is a super weird ego flex. Yes, I think it says something about you, either pride or insecurity. You know, that you want to be known as pastor if you're one of those people, and you're like, well, it's PastorDeanLentini.com or PastorDean.com. It's just, what are you doing? Either you're insecure and you just like really need to have that title, or you're being prideful with that. Maybe there are some people who just aren't thinking about it, but to me, it's just kind of like, just be yourself. Just go with DeanLentini.com, which I've owned since I was like 18. Even though there's like no other Dean Lentinis, but Johnny Appleseed, is the birth control thumbnail showing what I think it is, or am I missing? It is. I wanted to move on from that, but yeah, a lot of his thumbnails are exactly what you think they are. Heidi says, maybe it's my fundy roots showing, but the way women are dressed in his thumbnails would raise some eyebrows. 100%. Like, and that's, man, that could be something that's talked about. There is something about Christians and their thumbnails when it comes to women that's just like, what are you doing? Now, there was a whole bunch of kerfuffle. That's not a phrase. I just made it up, of a bunch of kerfuffle. That's not a thing. But there were people who were upset with Alan Parr with his Beyonce thumbnail, which was totally, I think, just jacked up. But there are tons of other ones who will fit into that world that do the exact same thing almost weekly, but it's just, you know, a little bit more close. And they know that's going to get eyeballs, right? It's going to get certain eyeballs for sure. Dean, you can thank Examining Moscow for me finding you. Is that marketing? Sure. I appreciate it. Examining Moscow is doing some good stuff, especially this week. Like they've been at it, and I appreciate what they're doing. RJ says, yeah, I get that. My fundy shows a lot too. And Elizabeth Elliott was interesting to unpack for me too. I bet. Crusaders here. I have people in my Christian Discord server who are falling for him. I plan on hosting the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast in the Discord server to bring awareness to his ungodly behavior. Well, good for you. Expect pushback. Like that. It's not going to go well, but it's probably something that's needed. Stephen says, so tired of dispensationalism being morphed into Zionism. Historically, it's not always been the case, and I was brought up in the Open Brethren in the UK. Yeah, if you're a dispensationalist, you're welcome here. Like I was for the vast majority of my life. Like my life. Until just a couple years ago when I started really studying the kingdom of God, and I couldn't get like the here but not yet kind of thing. And like I just had a huge struggles. So I actually ended up being a millennial, and that kind of changed some things with how I understand Israel. But that being said, they're a country. They need to be prayed for. They don't deserve what's happening to them for sure. It's a holy cow, sacred cow. That, yeah, a lot of people concerned about what's going on with that cow. Caleb says, I think the cow is supposed to be the red heifer that some prophecy pundits made a lot of noise about, probably, but it's just, Why is there fire coming at Mark Driscoll? Why is Mark Driscoll's mouth open? There's a lot going on there. Kirk Cameron is a post-millennialist now. He rejects the mainstream view of eschatology right now. It is so funny that he is the poster boy for all of that still. And it's never going to change. Caleb says, doesn't Driscoll read a book every day? That's what he used to say. That was a lie he used to say. I'm pretty sure you could get some expertise on a subject if you clip at that pace. Yeah, if only you could. Matthew says, it's supposed to be only the sixth red heifer to be sacrificed since Moses did it. That's about all I know. Yeah, I'm sure there's some channel, some YouTube channel with a whiteboard behind him and a guy in a tie that has a whole 3-hour video all about that. But I don't want to watch it. Well, that's good. I'm glad that they're doing that. Eating beans, that makes you talk out of your butt. That's true. That's a true thing. David says, ignorance and arrogance is a heck of a combination, to be honest. And Steven says, I swear some of these thumbnails have been updated. While there was shock value in the preaching back in the day, he still doesn't push the boat out that far. 100%. All of these have been updated. That's why it took him so long to release the content from the vault. The reason why is because they were making all these thumbnails and in this style where it's just, I don't know. It's this Gen Z stuff. I don't want to get into like a tirade about design stuff again, but it's very disturbing to me. Like the kind of design that they do. And it's just literally throwing 1,000 images at you and somehow it works for people. And I just don't understand it. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to copy that, but they do that. But that's why, because a lot of these were like, ask me anything. You remember like the chair that they used to have in like some of those thumbnails, some of you guys who've been watching stuff for a long time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But that was probably the vast majority of some of these. John says, I missed a lot. Yeah. You missed a lot about a cow and, a lot about just some gross stuff that Driscoll's up to. Seth says, I read a few books a day to my 2-year-old. Yes. Mostly about giraffes. Band name Driscoll and the Demon Slayers. You already said that. Was that? Are you talking about Robert Breaker? I mean, he's one of them. there's like 1,000 of them, of just like a whiteboard behind him, a guy in a tie, and they're always talking about the weirdest stuff. You know what? Let's do that. Let's go and let's. Where did that one go? Where is all my stuff? What did you guys do with it? Oh, it's right over here. That's where it is. Okay. All right. Let's go into, should we do Fundyville or should we do Penalty Box first? Let's do Fundyville. And bring it on down to Fundyville. All right. Let's take a look and see what's going on with Evangelist Dr. Larry Brown. I know. Is that what he's going to do? I'm going to go for the He's whispering now. All right. Well, it got really quiet there at the end. Sorry. But oh my goodness. So guys, if a guy's doing any community service, if he's messed up at all in his life, this is what he's going to do. He's going to get a girl pregnant. 100%. He's just going to, get a girl pregnant. Then, you know, that means that no one else will ever love you if you do get pregnant. No decent man would love you, because you got pregnant. You know, I could already hear Matt Chandler screaming from Texas, Jesus wants the rose. But you know, no decent man will love you. But then also, you know, he's going to leave you when you get fat, because you're going to get fat, because I guess that's just every pregnant lady. It's not the fact that you have a human growing in you. You're just going to get dang fat. And then this guy's just going to leave you for someone else. That's what that guy is going to do. He, every step of that, he's going to follow, because he messed up that one time and is doing, you know, some community service for it. Guys, like, it's a performance. Like, these kind of sermons and illustrations, like, it's so funny because it's not even like a good performance. Like, it's just like, it's just cringy and bad, but it's the exact same stuff that you hear from like Jonathan Pecluda, you know, on a stage, or, you know, fill in the blank with some like celebrity pastor, you know, big mega church pastor doing a stage, like, you know, with all the lights going. It's the same thing. It's just like, he's just down here being like, you know, oh, it's just gonna happen, and no one will ever love you, because you're not valuable if you have sex before marriage one time. You're just not valuable anymore, because that guy has helped himself. Wow. No, Luke, no, come on, who would? Do fundies not believe in the power of the gospel? You know, RJ says, so a Christian boy can't mess you up. What proves that a Christian boy will not mess you up? No, but that's, if he was a Christian boy, he wouldn't be doing community service, because Christian boys never mess up. They never do. What, someone hold me back, because I'm going to type some really fired up stuff. And Jeremy's just like, what is going on? Elijah says, surprised these fundies are okay with hugging and kissing, when most of the reformed influencers these days would shout out that a lot. Yep. Yeah. But he's just saying it from there. If he actually had, you know, someone who was doing that, he'd be like, church discipline. But then, you know, if there's like a deacon who abuses a kid, let's cover that up. All right. I'm going to move on before I get myself in trouble.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
Now is the time of the show where I can just sit back. I could have my tea and, you know, just watch some hate pile in.
2 minute minor trip. And there's the call.
All right, we got a minor one. So this is Justin Peters is a fundamentalist. And apparently that's a very controversial thing that I said. I don't know why it's so controversial. It's like, look at his church. Okay. D. Keeks says, so what's wrong with being a biblical fundamentalist? I agree with him. Why would you cause a brother to sin, especially if they've been saved out of alcoholism? Well, that was not my point. My point was saying that you saying that you do drink, or what the reference was, I think, a veiled, you know, attack of doctrine and devotion, but, you know, whatever. But these reformed guys who drink and talk theology on their podcast, again, sounds like a podcast I know. But, you know, he's talking about them and saying, you know, they're all these guys were saved out of this stuff and you're just throwing it in their face and you're causing them to sin and stumble. How dare you? My point was to say, you saying that you actually have that freedom in Christ to make up your own mind about that thing when it comes to these gray issues that we've talked so often about, but one of them being alcohol, to say that you can partake in that thing to the glory of God, or that you are partaking in that thing to the glory of God, is not causing someone to sin. That's when you start getting into being a fundamentalist, when you start saying, well, you can't even talk about it. Like, that is the tyranny of the weaker brother, looking at the brother who's stronger in his faith. And again, that doesn't mean better in his faith. Like, it just is a way Paul uses to differentiate these two positions. One is weaker, one is stronger. Neither is better. Like, that's the whole point of the text. But you are just saying, well, that guy can't do it. He can't talk about it. He can't be himself. You need to hide that thing because I might sin. Saying that there's this thing called the internet and you can find awful images of people online isn't me, you know, tempting you to sin. Like, that is, you have to make a decision with that information, right? That's not, if you now say, here is this image, like, you have to look at it, you have to partake in this image, that's something else. Saying, like, oh, I can, you know, maybe something that's in here. It's, what time is it? It's 1:30 in the afternoon. It's just tea. But let's say that there was something else in this cup. Me saying that I have this doesn't mean you have to go to the store and go and get that. Like, or you have to drink it. You know, like, it's just stating a fact that I believe that I can drink this thing that is in this cup. That, but to say, oh, you're causing them. Why would you cause a brother to sin? You're not. Now, if you have a brother who is an alcoholic and you don't leave an option at communion, as an example, you don't leave an option at communion for a non-alcoholic, you know, like maybe your church just does wine for communion, and you know that Bill is there and he was an alcoholic for years and still, you know, it's only been like a year since, you know, he got sober. And you're giving it to him, I think that you as a church are causing him to stumble. You know, you should have an option available. But when you give someone no options, then yes. Or you say, you know, go against your conscience and just do what I say, then yes, that's causing someone to sin. Saying that I partake in something is not causing someone to sin. And if it is, you're the weakest person alive. Like, come up to you, make up your own mind, be a person. All right.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
No excuse. No excuse. This is the kind of stuff that you see from these Mark Driscoll fanboys. All right. So this is TTNL2442. For the video, Mark Driscoll has not changed, which once again is this dumb tweet of Mark Driscoll dunking on people when they say that he's hurt them. Awesome, Pastor Mark. Keep dunking the truth of Jesus Christ on them. The them are the victims. Like, do you understand how ridiculous this is? Like a victim is saying, you have hurt me and you have hurt others. And Mark Driscoll's like, dunking Jeff. And these guys are like, yeah, dunk on the victims. Like, is that the heart of Christ? Is that the heart of Christ? Is that how he cares for people who have been hurt and afflicted? Because I don't see that in the Gospels, but, you know, maybe I missed something.
2 minutes for,
what is this? This is huge. It's not that big a deal. We'll make it smaller. So once again, the chosen people, the worst fans on the internet. The worst. You know, I think we have it. Do we have it? Do we have it? We don't have it. Where is it? I think we have it over here. Do we have it? Where is it? Oh, I know I have it. I don't know where it is.
No! It's just dumb.
I feel like I failed. There's a there's a clip that I have, but I don't know where it is in my stream deck. What a bummer. All right. Why I don't watch The Chosen. So Johnny Gomez, which actually sounds like an awesome name. Let's see who has a better message, The Chosen or you. YouTuber who has the better message. The people who are talking about only the Bible, like The Chosen, they never make up anything on their own, or you. And quote, so I haven't checked it out, but it's just so bad. That's not what I said. But also, really, guy, sounds like you need some Jesus in your life. Oh. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that you're talking about? You need some Jesus in your life. How bad can anything be that leads people to God? The ends justify the means. And there's some Jesus in it, so that means everything else is good. And that's always the case. And historically, it's always been the case. We don't need to criticize. We don't need to hold anyone to some kind of standard of truth. Or say, like, hey, if you're going to be talking about Jesus, be careful. Or, you know, like things like, you know, maybe don't worship a graven image. Maybe something like that should be, like, considered in this conversation. That's dumb, because Jesus is in this. And if Jesus is in it, then it's fine. Tell that to the dozens of TV shows and movies that make fun of Jesus. You good with that? But there's a little bit of God in it, right? Oh, there's a little bit of God in it. So it's going to lead them to truth in some way. So it's fine, right? Of course not. You wouldn't say that. These people. I don't know why I even try. Why do I even try? I know why I try. Because of this. For the clicks. I'm just kidding. We don't do it for the clicks, but it is kind of fun when it happens. Let's see what some of you guys are saying. This confetti is too long. Turn it off. Thank you. All right. Star is here. Hey, Star. How's it going? Just getting in as excited preacher uses the woodpecker analogy. I am fascinated. Don't be like, I don't know what that was, but my granny always said, don't marry a man who can't hang a curtain rod. My wife wouldn't have married me. I am the most unhandy man alive I was before I got married. And then I figured out, oh, I have to actually do things. I have to learn how to cook. That was something. And then I also have to, you know, figure out how to do simple maintenance of different things. And I've learned. And it's helped with YouTube quite a bit because I've built some stuff. But Heather would not have married me if that were the case, if that was the rule she followed. RJ says, I get that they are a performance, but I've walked the damage it does to girls and probably boys too. Yes, I'm not saying it's excusable, but it's a show. They're show, like showmen, and they're really bad at it. Caleb says, Dean is getting a lot of mileage out of Justin Peters and The Chosen. if only. That's one of my like biggest YouTube bummers, you know, is that like I have these videos that have gotten thousands and thousands of views, and I've gotten like 40 subs from because everyone hates them. it's pretty accurate. It fits. Heidi says, these fundy pastors always talk about sin like it comes from the world, when some of the most dangerous men come from within their churches. 100%. You know what? We're gonna figure out something that we can go. Yes. I like that last whisper. Dean explaining to fundies the problem with fundamentalism makes my Monday. That's what we do every single week, man. Heidi says it's almost like, or Seth says to Heidi, it's almost like they never read Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. Why would they? Why would they? Ethan says, okay, I'll pretend there's more than tea in that cup. You can look. It's a tea bag. This would make either I am the worst alcoholic in the world or it's tea. RJ says, harmless as doves. Jesus said to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to work on the whole command. Agreed. I think you have too much buttons. It's true. It's true. Like, what I need, guys, I need a bigger, yet a bigger stream deck so that I could have all of the sounds out and I don't have to go into files that I make here and navigate that. Cause that's like, I would use so many more of these things and they're funny. And like, it's like, I always think to use them and then I just can't find them. But you know what?
I can do this all day.
But I can't, you know, I actually do have to pick up kids. Hello from Alabama. Congratulations. I appreciate that, Lucy. Thanks for hopping into the chat. That is the same thing about Fundy say about abuse and why to cover it up 100%. I'm a maintenance tech, so there's that. About all I got. Are you going to see all 8 episode seasons of the 4 The Chosen in theaters, Dean? No. You know what? We got stuff.
I steadfastly refuse.
Catastrophic!
Uh-oh.
No. Like, the thing about it is, after a little while, I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll watch The Chosen, watch an episode. And, you know, like, a lot of people are watching this thing, so maybe I'll do that. And then, like, I had that idea for, like, a day. And then they just got so mean, and there were just, like, so many of them hating on me. Just, like, I'm never going to watch that. Like, I'm just never going to, because they're jerks, and they're the worst. And so I'm just not going to. So The Chosen... You know, sometimes, you know, The Chosen even hopped into that and said some stuff. They need to get a hold of their fans because their fans are the worst and they need to call them out and be like, hey, you know, if you actually like Jesus, maybe don't act like Satan. Okay. don't do that. The irony of drinking tea from a Ted Lasso cup. Coach is disappointed in you. That's like, I had that exact thought today. I love it. Actually, on, my coffee cup, I have something about tea too. I have a Ted Lasso sticker. Guys, I got Ted Lasso for my Christmas ornament this year. We do, you know, every year we do new Christmas ornaments, things you guys don't care about, but I'm going to say anyways for the internet. but every year we do Christmas ornaments. And this year I picked out a Ted Lasso one because I just love Ted Lasso so much. I'm so tired of having to justify my choice to not watch The Chosen. You don't have to. You don't have to. Just don't watch it. You don't have to have a reason. Just say no. You know, Nancy Reagan, she might have had a point. Just say no. Just say no to The Chosen. That should be a shirt. Just say no to The Chosen. All right. It's not for any theological reason necessarily. I mean, if you have that theological reason, that's your own perspective. But like, I would be okay with watching it for myself. I'm just like recommending it for everyone. Probably not going to do that because that's something that you need to decide with your own conscience. But also, I'm just never going to do it because they're jerks and I don't like them. And they obviously don't like me. So, all right. That's the end of the show. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Thanks for, you know, making sure that we're at 5,000. I just want to check because I know that there are people who are like, how close to the line are you? Can we unsubscribe for 20 minutes and you'll be below 5,000? Thanks for not doing that. We're still at 5,000. So that's cool. You know, more stuff to come. More stuff to come. More videos. More streams. It's going to continue until Jesus comes back, which according to Mark Driscoll is tomorrow. So... we'll do an AM stream tomorrow and we'll call it good, right? we'll have first underdog meetup. It's going to be in heaven. All right. See you in that one. Bye.